live at AsylumFantasyFootball.com. It's the Inside Slant.
Yes, we're Fligger and Briggs. Welcome into the Asylum. Drop us a line, AsylumFootball@gmail.com. Get some last-minute questions in.
Also on Twitter, we're monitoring Twitter throughout the show, at Asylum Football.
Yes, indeed, and thanks for spending some time with us to get ready for your Sunday morning games. And, Rick, you might as well give them out the number. Call in.
Absolutely. I will be happy to do that as soon as I get the studio pulled up, my friend. Hold on here 1 minute. Call, there it is, 646-478-4679. Also being heard live, Rick, on this Sunday morning on the Real Fans Sports Radio Network at rfsportsradio.com. Give them a shout. Let them know you're hearing us there.
Yes, indeed. And here we go again. Week six starting, and lots of different things going on. Lots of news, some tragic stuff, and just some interesting injury reports and stupid fodder, you know, blotter fodder, and everything else.
Yeah, lots of nonsense going on. So let's the elephant in the room for any hack who's doing this, let's get that out of the way right off the bat. Obviously, Adrian Peterson had that family tragedy. We don't need to rehash it. Reports coming out this morning, he does intend to play. Rick, I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about how you think he's going to perform. I don't know. He's got bigger fish to fry than my fantasy team. So do with that what you will would be my advice. If he plays, he's Adrian Peterson. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I mean, there's no, like you said, there's no use really rehashing into that and predicting things like that. Of course, we all know the big inspirational thing with Brett Favre and his father passing away. This is totally different. I don't have any idea. It just could be therapy for him, so we'll just let it be.
Yeah, just leave that as it be. I have a lot of strong opinions on what happened there. I'm going to keep them to myself as well. And so let's just have some fun this morning and get those lineups set and win. I've got, Rick, I know I saw you bash me in our League of Consequence, the Caveman League, in your weekly story on a horrific three-game losing streak I got to get turned around. So that's what I may have you set my lineup this week. I am just in a tailspin.
Well, it is kind of fun writing these little ditties I do for our League of Consequence, and when someone as prestigious as yourself has fallen
like
three
that.
In a row.
Yeah, that's uncommon for a man as prestigious as me. I like that.
Well, I tell you what, one story I want to hit on, and it's just, I don't know. I don't even know where to go with it. You know, Jets tight end Kellen Winslow. Yeah, here we are. Sort of a comeback for him so far this year.
Few nice games.
Yeah, he's been suspended 4 games for violating the league's policy on performance-enhancing substances. You know, the NFL announced Friday afternoon. You know, his suspension begins immediately, and he's not eligible to return until Monday, November the 5th. So that's, what, week 10, I would assume, something like that.
Yeah, getting in there somewhere.
You know, he's team high 17 receptions for 169 yards. Obviously not stellar stats, but when you're playing for the Jets, that's still leading the team.
Yeah, call that a win.
Yeah, exactly. So
this has probably got to be the end of the road for Kellen Winslow, don't you think? Yeah, a lot of it injuries, a lot of it attitude, and now you put this in. I don't know. I guess if he can still play, somebody will give him a shot, but probably weren't playing Kellen Winslow on your fantasy team as it was.
No, and you're probably not going to be playing Jeff Cumberland, who's going to be taking his place, I would wager.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a mad dash to the waiver wire to pick up Jeff Cumberland. So, Rick, just a couple other little things off the top. This I find odd, being that it's now 10:04 on Sunday morning. The Lions are hopeful Calvin Johnson can play in Week 6. This just hit at 9:53 p.m. from Michael Hercombe of CBS Sports. Kind of noncommittal less than 3 hours before game time.
Right.
Obviously, the big surprise dumped on us exactly 2 minutes after we got off the air last Sunday, scrambling around to change a few lineups myself. This is one you're just going to have to watch to the bitter end. I'll try to monitor it while we're on the air here. But I wonder, I drove up here intending to say right off the top of the show, looks like Calvin Johnson's going to be good to go. And we're going to talk about him when we get in our starts and sits as well. But like I said, if we're here 3 hours before kickoff and they're still just hopeful, that makes me wonder if there isn't more at play here.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously something that's really nagging this guy, because he's not as tough as it comes. So, You know, and we go to 11:30 Eastern time, so I imagine 11:32 or 3,
yeah,
he will be announced either,
yes,
playing or not. So,
yeah, so
but right now, we just have to monitor what he's doing.
So dig around on Blog Talk and try to find a show that goes till noon. That might be your better bet there.
Exactly.
All right. Rob Gronkowski, Rick, looks like he's going to be out. He hasn't been cleared by Dr. James Andrews. Looked for all the world like he was going to go this week. I know I just, 2 minutes before we went on the air, had to change a lineup as that news comes out. Michael Vick looking like he's not going to play this week, and Marshawn Lynch looks like he will play. So a few things there. Obviously, we'll keep an eye on it throughout the morning. Rick, one thing, I don't know anything about this. I just find, how bad is it to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan right now and to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer? With all the Josh Freeman drama, all the Shiano drama, all the finding ways to lose games right at the end, now there's a MRSA outbreak in that locker room. You talk about just when it's going bad, it's going bad.
Yeah, and I don't know if maybe Shiano's down on the janitor or something and he's not doing his job there, because it's certainly, I don't know, three players apparently have been diagnosed with that. And, I mean, that stuff's serious.
Yeah, looks like everybody's going to play. They're not afraid of a big outbreak.
I mean, I guess if you're going to get hurt, you know, twist a knee or something, don't get lacerated.
Yeah, don't get MRSA, apparently. So, well, Rick, let's do it. We're going to get into our starts and sits here. We'll obviously answer any questions and calls at 646-478-4679 as we go. By quarter till, we'll go ahead and pick this week. I know Rick posts that on the website every week, so we'll talk about that a little bit. You know, I haven't kept any track of mine. You probably haven't either. I have no idea how I'm doing. I just throw it out there.
No, actually, I don't know how you've been doing.
I might have to go back and figure that out.
I know I'm having a rough year, to be honest with you, with a lot of the...
To be fair, you're not that bright,
yeah.
So we factor that. Then 11 o'clock, Scott Fisher, the Fantasy Football Oasis. We'll come into the asylum with the machine, and we'll get our questions, our pre-planned questions that we got throughout the week. We'll get those answered, and obviously you can get your questions in then, and Scott can plug them into the machine real quick if the machine's being polite today.
Yeah, we have actually have a couple questions in the chat room we might as well hit real quick.
Let's do it right off the top.
Boy, I tell you, I don't like the looks of the first one already. Pryor or Stafford?
Pryor, boy, both tough matchups. Rick, when we get into our starts and sits, Pryor is an absolute sit for me this week.
Against Kansas City.
Yeah,
right?
Going into Kansas City, who has declared they're trying to set some sort of world record for noise or
something.
Yeah,
they're going to try to break Seattle's record. Yeah, you know, and Stafford, on that line, he's got a very tough matchup against Cleveland, in Cleveland. We don't know about Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
Obviously, Burleson's out with a broken arm. Calvin Johnson doesn't play. It's Stafford and Reggie Bush,
yeah,
and Ryan Broyles and Brandon Pettigrew, you know, and company there.
So equally bad matchups. Give me the veteran every time, I think, in that situation. Terrell Pryor going into Kansas City with the brand of defense they're playing this year, the way,
yeah,
they're turning the ball over. I want no parts of Terrell Pryor. Obviously, Stafford's a horrible matchup, but I think he's the lesser of two evils there.
Yeah, and, you know, in the chat room, Mighty Riot's the one posting the question here. Apparently, he has three quarterbacks.
Okay.
His third one's equally bad matchup, Pryor or Kaepernick. Kaepernick playing Arizona. Very stingy defense, ball hawking defense as well. Kaepernick's been pretty underwhelming. I think I'd still have to go Stafford, but if it is Pryor or Kaepernick, I think I'd still go Kaepernick.
Yeah, I think I go Stafford 1, Kaepernick 2, Pryor 5 with nobody in the 3 and 4 slots with those matchups.
Yeah, I would just have to stick with Stafford. There's just too much upside with him. But did you hear about the Deion Sanders story?
Bits and pieces, yeah. The Primetime Academy, I think it's called, or something to that effect.
Yeah, and Sanders walked back, allegedly, of course, walked back to an administrator by the name of Jefferson, apparently grabbed him by the throat and allegedly threw him to the ground. It's kind of quoting this guy, and then he just grabbed me by my throat and kind of threw me to the ground.
How do you kind of throw somebody to the ground?
I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, how are you kind of pregnant? I don't know. That's just – but, you know, and then Sanders turns around. He was not beat up. He was not hit. He was none of that. Quoting Deion Sanders, Mr. Jefferson and I got into a confrontation about the welfare of these kids And we'll get into another one. Until you start taking care of these kids, I'm going to be on a rampage.
Wow.
So apparently he's not real happy with the administration at his school in Dallas.
If he doesn't, you kind of grab him by the throat, kind of throw him on the ground.
Kind of throw him down and kind of go on a rampage, I guess.
I have no issue with that. You know what, Rick? We missed talking about the Thursday night game. I think a lot of interesting stuff come out of that.
Yes, indeed. We want to hit on that.
As my computer's just talking without me asking it to, let's try and do that. I'm getting tired of
that's
that,
kinda
by
like
the way. You can't click on. You can't. That's fair.
You talk. I don't ask you to.
That's fair. The hits keep coming for Eli Manning, Rick. 14 for 26, 239, a touchdown, but just a turnover machine, just throwing interceptions at an alarming rate, and a rate that Blaine Gabbert would be envious of at this point. Rick, the big story coming out of this game for me was Brandon Jacobs, 22 carries, over 106 yards, 4.8 on average, two touchdowns against a Bears defense. Anomaly, something you need to keep an eye on.
Well, that in itself is a story, but I tell you what, it actually makes it even a bigger story when you consider those stats that he just did against Chicago, and Eli with those receivers was still that bad.
Yeah, well,
that's what really struck me. Yes, I was totally shocked that Brandon Jacobs ran like he did. Look, I know he's grateful to Tom Coughlin, and he's back at a place that he believes in and actually believes in him, I guess. I mean, you know, this kind of a guy that it's probably hard to take at times, but him and Tom Coughlin seem to get along well, and I think he'll give it his all. He'll probably be, you know, a good play as far as flex, maybe low end RB2, I think, going forward.
You think he's gotten there without that one performance? That's what I'm curious about. Was this an anomaly? I'm struck by the fact that, number one, Eli Manning was struggling, so you think they could load up against the run, number one. And number two, I'm struck this is the Bears' defense. Now, they haven't been – now, they're a ball hawking, they're a turnover defense. They do give up chunks of yards. You can run on them a little bit. But this is Brandon Jacobs. You're in better shape than Brandon Jacobs right now.
Obviously not.
And if you can't see Rick right now, that's a low bar is what I'm telling you.
I am in my prime, spelt and chiseled.
That's just not true at all.
No, but, you know, they don't know that.
But I just told them.
Oh, jeez. That's just pathetic.
That's my reaction when Rick takes his shirt off, which he tends to do halfway through every show. It's weird. I don't know.
But, yeah, you asked me, is he based on that one performance? I'll put this to you. If you were to, okay, this is next week and everything holding pretty much steady, you going to start him or Rashard Mendenhall?
I think I got to start Jacobs.
All right. I mean, we're probably bringing Chris Johnson into the conversation.
Yeah, I'd start that Diet Coke over Chris Johnson this week, but we'll get into that soon enough.
But you see what I'm saying? I'm not saying he's going to be anything spectacular, but Wilson's basically going to be gone for the year, I think. It's very possible with that neck injury. They have nothing else. Andre Brown's not coming back till week 11, I believe.
Week 10 or 11, yeah.
And until then, I mean, he's the guy.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I guess it's going to depend on your lineup. There's probably 15 guys, 16 guys I'm going to be more comfortable with than Brandon Jacobs if there's not 20. Haven't really had a chance to digest it and sit down and look into next week yet. But, you know, you keep an eye on it. If they're going to feed him the ball 22 times and you know he's going to get the goal line carries, he's almost a lock for a touchdown every week if they can get deep into the red zone. So something to keep an eye on there. You know, on the Bears side, Cutler, a nice day, 262, two touches. Forte, sort of pedestrian, 19 for 67. Brandon Marshall did what Brandon Marshall does.
And to your point, exactly what we talked about last week. Two big games in a row from Jeffrey. What happens?
Open Marshall up.
There's Marshall and dominating as he is.
The story coming out of this game then, Rick. What of Alshon Jeffrey? Two real nice games, and then last week one for 27 while Marshall runs wild. Can you check? We get more, I swear, we get more Alshon Jeffrey questions than anybody else. Yeah, I think he's right on that line, and he's a guy you want to get in your lineup. And when I recommend you sit him, he goes up and goes out and has 200 yards and a touchdown. A guy I've railed against, I don't trust week to week. I don't really want anything to do with. Now he sort of crashes back to earth. He didn't come back to earth. He went in a tailspin and crashed back to earth. What of Alshon Jeffrey?
I think you're looking at flex value. He's one of these kind of guys. You're going to get those kind of games, and then he's going to disappear. And unfortunately, I think that's how it rolls right now with Chicago. Hey, Brandon Marshall's the guy. There's no question about
yeah.
that. And Matt Forte right there, close second as far as the dump-offs and everything. So, yeah, you're going to have big games, and you're going to have disappearing games. And I'm not sure that you can say much more than that right now until he starts performing.
Is he worth the risk to you on a week-to-week basis, I guess, is my question then.
And it goes back, you know, will I start him right now over a let's think of where we're at. Steve Smith, maybe?
Probably. Probably. That's
pretty close.
That's, I think we're at that level. Dwayne Bowe. I think
Dwayne Bowe's another good one.
That level. Yeah, the certain guy. Yeah, he maybe go above those guys just because of his ceiling, because we've seen what his ceiling is. If somebody decides, and it almost looks like a conscious decision by the defense,
and you
we're
almost
not letting Brandon Marshall beat us today. So Alshon Jeffrey has the ability to beat you if you take Marshall away, but does it happen? I guess that's the risk you take, and that's the coin flip week.
Well, and that's the advantage Jeffrey has, is he has Brandon Marshall, who is the guy on that team, which brings up his value. Well, I mean, we're mentioning Steve Smith. Steve Smith's a number one. Dwayne Bowe's a number one.
True.
They don't have anybody that's really...
They're just not getting it done.
Exactly. And nobody really fears Brandon LaFell. So,
nah.
And, you know, I mean, Greg...
What a little man, Chris. What was that last offseason?
Yeah, last year I was looking for a fairly decent year out of LaFell. Didn't seem to materialize. I mean, obviously his stats improved somewhat, but... You know, never got into really fantasy relevance at all. And he's that way this year. He had that one big game. I think he had two touchdowns.
Yeah.
And basically disappeared after that.
Remembered he was Brandon LaFell and went right back to normal.
Hey, let's get a couple of these questions out of the chat room here.
All right.
What do you think of Ridley this week if Gronk doesn't play?
I don't care if Gronk plays or not. I'm done on Ridley completely. Not 100% healthy, although it looks like he's going to play.
He's questionable along with Bolden this week.
You still got Bolden there. You still have LeGarrette Blount taking some carries. I don't see, you're talking a shootout game. I don't see a lot of rushing attempts in this game. I love this game going into this week. Ridley, I avoid at all costs. He's probably 36 or lower on my running back list right now.
Yeah,
that's tough to say. I play Ben Tate over Stephen Ridley. I'm trying to think of the backups I would play over him this week, and they're plentiful.
Yeah, I agree. I would not trust him. Granted, with his stats he had last year, there's some upside there, but it seems that he's fallen out of – okay, either A, he's fallen out of Belichick's favor. B, he's just not healthy and they're just not using him, especially when you have Bolden and Blount there to take a lot of the load off of him. But, yeah, he's not trustworthy at all. Now, here's another one. Need a running back. You might want to get your pen out for this one.
I'll get my pen out.
Need a running back and a flex out of these.
So we need an RB and a flex.
Okay. Eddie Lacy.
Okay.
Gio Bernard. Trent Richardson.
Wow. Okay.
Justin Blackmon. And Mr. Josh Gordon.
Oh, wow.
Need two, and at least one has to be a running back. Non-PPR standard.
Non-PPR. Okay. First of all, I would like to see the guys who aren't in question that he's playing on this squad, because that's – so if I need a running back, boy, this is tough, Rick. I'm going to throw Lacy out right away, not digging his matchup necessarily this week. So I'm going to throw him out. Love Gio Bernard's matchup. So it comes down to, and I swear we've had a lot of Trent Richardson, Gio Bernard questions in the last couple weeks. This seems to be something everybody's facing. Oh, So let's get to the flex, Rick. I think in a non, and I hate saying sit Josh Gordon down, in a non-PPR flex position, I love Justin Blackmon. They will be down 47 points 8 minutes into the game. There's going to be a lot of garbage time going on. You could see Blackmon getting deep. That Denver defense, not very good. Call Tony Romo and ask him. You can fling the ball on him. The Chad Henne factor, we're going to get into that later as I have a bit of a bold prediction there. So I like Justin Blackmon in the flex. It comes down to Bernard and Trent Richardson for me. I like that matchup for Cincinnati so much, Rick. I'm going to go ahead and sit Richardson, and I'm going to go with Gio Bernard.
All right, I certainly agree with Blackmon, but I got to go Richardson against that San Diego defense. He's the guy, and he's going to get the goal line carries, and I like Trent Richardson. So yeah. Blackmon, Richardson, you like Blackmon, Bernard.
Yeah, Cincinnati going up against Buffalo. You know, the danger with Bernard is how much work does the law firm get. I know that. Hold on. Now let me back up. I just read what I wrote down because I talked before I think. Rick, you know that. This is a non-PPR.
Yes.
I'm going to go with you. Give me Richardson. You just talked me into it. I had PPR in my head. Give me Richardson, and we'll agree on Blackmon wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Okay. So it actually is unanimous.
Yeah,
that's
how
scary.
About that? It would have been unanimous off the top had I been paying attention to the question.
Right.
What
but
we
you
have
don't.
You,
so
that's what we have you for.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, let's move on.
Well, what do you say we jump into some starts and sits, Rick? We're about 20 minutes in. We'll get those questions as they come in. Feel free to call 646-478-4679 in the chat room on Twitter, at Asylum Football. So, Rick,
I'd like to know how Junior did on his civil service test.
Oh, that's right.
Week,
hopefully
Jersey
calls
in.
Yeah. So, because that was last weekend,
yeah.
Wasn't he? He was down at the shore doing that. So we'll find out how that went, I'm sure. Rick, my start of the week, start of the week for me this week is going to be, we just talked about this game a little bit, and I bounce back and forth. I think Reggie Wayne's probably an obvious start. T.Y. Hilton, Rick, against this San Diego defense here on Monday night, I believe it is, yes. San Diego has given up in the top five of fantasy points and fantasy scoring and in terms of the NFL in basically every statistical category as far as what a receiver can do. San Diego has given up in the top five, or maybe we should look at it in the bottom five is where they struggled. I see T.Y. Hilton running wild. I think Reggie Wayne has a big game as well. With what Phillip Rivers is doing, the way San Diego's moving the ball, I think we're set up for a shootout on Monday night. Look at what T.Y. Hilton did last week. He sort of falling into that Alshon Jeffrey mode for me. He'll disappear and then come up big. If there's a week he's going to come up big, this is it.
Yeah, I'll have to go along with that. And there's just not much more you can say about that. I think T.Y. Hilton has worked into almost a must-start every week. So, I have to go along with that. My start of the week's a little sketchier than yours and maybe a little more risk-reward. But going against that Philadelphia defense, I like Vincent Jackson this week.
Yeah.
Now, I know we got, Glennon as the quarterback, and that's sketchy. Doug Martin hasn't been able to do much anything this week, or this year, excuse me. But I like Vincent Jackson going at home against Philadelphia with his 30th ranked defense coming in.
Yeah, I had V-Jax actually on my watch list, Rick. He was the number one guy on my watch list. Definitely wanted to discuss him this week. Look, it's a bad situation. People are dropping over with the MRSA. Well, what is MRSA? I don't even know what MRSA is. You hear
it's
about it.
It's an infection.
Yeah.
It's,
what's it do? Is it just itchy? Is it just annoying? Does it put you on your butt? Does it kill you?
It can be, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, but I think it's a form of staph infection is what I think it is. And that stuff can get pretty nasty.
I've heard of people who have died from staph infections.
Right. And, it's something that they really have to pay attention to because it really... Apparently, if antibiotics aren't, and it's kind of antibiotic resistant from what I've heard, but I guess once it gets it, in you and unchecked, it can really start raging through your system. So, it's certainly something to be taken seriously.
Yeah, so back to Vincent Jackson. You look at everything going on there in Tampa. It's a mess. You got the Mike Glennon factor. I tend to agree you can move anybody seems to be able to move the ball in Philadelphia. I believe you referred to him last week as a water through a screen door. So Jackson's a guy I'm certainly starting. I'm still not terribly comfortable with it. When you get these young quarterbacks, you don't know which guy they're going to lean on. Do they lean on Mike Williams? Is there a tight end there they lean on. But Vincent Jackson's the number one guy. This is a good matchup. So I'm going to play him this week, but definitely a guy I'm watching, and that's how he ended up on my watch list.
Right. Oh, it is confirmed. I'm sure probably no more than we do, but it is – I'm assuming it is a staph infection, and it has poor response to antibiotics.
So it's
certainly something to be taken seriously, and that's probably why it's making the news like it is, you know, with three people having it and so forth.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You get that in the locker room. Rick, my sit of the week, I have a feeling I'm probably stealing yours and everybody else's across the globe. But, Rick, Chris Johnson versus Seattle, I don't think you have a guy I would recommend starting Chris Johnson over this week.
No, I agree. I had him written down, but I assume that if you went first, you would say
yeah.
him. So there you
be
have
ready
it.
For another one, because that's an yeah. obvious one. I'm not sure we even need to discuss that.
No, and I'll tell you what, with the horrible play from Carson Palmer, my sit of the week is Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
It pains me to say that because a lot of high hopes for him this year and had a couple of big games, but they're offensively – they can't run the ball again, and it seems to be
Palmer's running for his life all the time.
Exactly. They're
horrific.
Suffering from the same woes that Pittsburgh is in a way, the all poor offensive line play. And I think you have to have a better option than Larry Fitzgerald. If
yeah.
not, they're probably hurt right now.
Yeah, no question about it. And to spin it back even to last year and in the past, Larry Fitzgerald struggles against San Francisco in two games last year, only 7 grabs for 65 yards for Larry Fitzgerald.
And we know the stat of being shut down by a defense.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was it? Tony Gonzalez, who you so proudly hailed.
I was so excited about that stat. I thought that was the coolest thing ever. That's the show you left to vomit during, if I recall correctly. And I was so excited. I dug that up. I can't even remember where I found it. I'd like to give the person who found it credit. Well, it didn't pan out, and I will never again recommend to sit Tony Gonzalez.
Exactly.
All right, Rick, on the watch list, I had Vincent Jackson at the top of mine. I want to talk about Willis McGahee, Rick, going up against the Lions. Didn't put up big numbers last week, but managed 26 carries. Willis McGahee's a volume play. So I think he's interesting. He's probably a start, especially against that Lions defense. It looks like he's healthy. He's ready to go. Knows enough the offense. I don't think he puts up big numbers, Rick, but if there's a guy who's going to see 20 carries or 20 carries plus, in this case 26 last week, how do you not have Willis McGahee in your lineup?
Oh, it's true. He's definitely the guy. There's no question about that. And he's proven over the years he can be a workhorse. And he is going – they proved it last week in that game, albeit he didn't convert a lot of them. They couldn't get through on a lot of the plays. He did get the touchdown. He's the goal line carry guy, and they're going to pound the ball, and they want to – with that defense, Cleveland can now risk trying to shove it down your throat
right.
and force their will on you because their defense is very, very good.
Yeah, we'll see what the quarterback does this week, but with Josh Gordon running wild there, you're sort of taking the lid off that defense a little bit too, making some room. Again, I don't think McGahee's going to put up huge numbers. He could very well have 24 carries for 85 yards, but he's going to have a chance to get in the end zone. He's going to have a chance to break the long one. These days, Rick, a running back getting over 20 carries is such a rare thing. You have to take notice, and you have to find somewhere for him in your lineup. Look, I'll play him over Chris Johnson, obviously, Rashard Mendenhall. I mean, there's probably – Willis McGahee's probably a top 24 guy.
I'd start him over Lamar Miller. Of course, he's on a bye this week.
Yeah,
but
on a given week, yes. Any of that New England
mess.
Stephen
Ridley.
Any of that Rams mess, we'll get into that.
Right.
And all these messes out there, here's a guy who you know is going to get the carries, and I think you have to go with that.
I agree 100%. Now, on my watch list, and I – hesitate a little bit, maybe making him a start, but with all the Justin Blackmon talk, I think Cecil Shorts is a real watch because, like you said, they're going to be down 47-0 after the first 8 minutes of the game, and Cecil Shorts certainly has proven that he can catch a lot of balls, and he's very productive in his own right, and I hate recommending Jaguars.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's one of those things. Denver doesn't have a good pass defense. Dallas did spread him out and had a career game against him. So even Jacksonville, I got a feeling, is going to get some garbage yards, and I like Cecil Shorts.
Yeah, I agree, and rather than beat that one to death, Rick, I want to jump back to our start. This is one it may alienate the last seven listeners we have to make this recommendation. But, Rick, for me this week, Chad Henne is a start. He now, granted, not over Aaron Rodgers, not over Drew Brees, Tom Brady, et cetera, et cetera. But Chad Henne, we keep saying it, they're going to be down early. He does have a bit of a rapport with Blackman and Cecil Shorts, for that matter. They're going to be behind. They're going to be throwing a lot. Chad Henne, he's going to throw a bunch of interceptions. He's going to throw the ball 40 to 50 times this week.
But see, that's the problem you run into coming up with something like that. Who do you start him over? And I will do this game here for a couple. Do you start him over? Okay, we're not even going to get into the big guys, but some of these people that draft quarterbacks late, do you start them over Big Ben?
Yes.
Okay. Do you start him over, Geno Smith?
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay.
Yes. Hey, let's go through the list. Matt Stafford.
No.
I think I do. I really, we talked about what a bad matchup that is. Let's go through the games here where you got legitimate quarterbacks, blah, 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 blah. No, nobody there. You know, Russell Wilson. I may start him over Russell Wilson. We'll get into that when we get to our watch list. Moving down the line, nobody in that game. Colin Kaepernick. I don't trust Colin Kaepernick this week.
I don't against that Arizona defense.
You got four or five every week.
With you.
You got four or five every week starts rather than just reading off names here who have really bad matchups.
Right. You're right.
And I think if you're looking, I wish Eli Manning was playing today instead of playing Thursday. Yeah, here's a guy for
Nick Foles at Tampa.
I trust Henne more than him. Okay. I really do. Foles has the ability to come out and put up three bills and a couple touches, but especially with everything going on down there in Tampa Bay. But I think I trust Henne. Just, again, sort of back to McGahee point on volume, he's going to throw the ball a ton. He's got these talented wide receivers who can run free. Denver secondary without Champ Bailey's just been horrific. I look at what Tony Romo did to them last week. Now, Chad Henne ain't Tony Romo, I'll grant you.
How about an Alex Smith?
There's your we talked about this Tuesday. There's your risk reward type of situation. You know the stat line you're going to get out of Alex Smith. You know, he's going to put up 14, 16 fantasy points. Just write it down. Chad Henne, it's going to depend on the interceptions, I think. But my point is Chad Henne's a lock for 300 yards.
He's
an absolute
lock.
You think
so?
He has to be. He absolutely has to be.
All right. I mean, time will tell.
I have a feeling we'll be exploring this one way or the other on Tuesday.
Well,
I'll be thumping my chest or you'll be thumping my head one or the other.
And I'm not saying, that's just a ridiculous thing, but it just seems that because they are playing Denver and they're going to be behind a lot, that he's going to be a lock. I mean, I could see him easily, you know, maybe 250, but maybe having three, even four picks, too.
Oh, yeah.
You just never can tell.
He's going to throw picks. He will throw picks. That's what he does. That's who he is. What I'm saying is, and it's not Chad Henne in a vacuum. It's with the success we think Justin Blackman's going to have. You just brought up Cecil Shorts. You know, to get to that point, somebody's throwing the ball. I like what Chad Henne did with those guys, even at the end of the year last year. Look, not over Cam Newton, not over Tony Romo, not over Phil Rivers, some of these guys, Andrew Luck. But if you're sitting down there and Colin Kaepernick, Russell Wilson, you drafted your quarterback late territory, maybe you got a bye week this week. I don't know what quarterbacks are on bye right off the top of my head. But I'm telling you, I gotta believe that much as he's going to throw the ball, your 300 yards, a couple touchdowns isn't out of the realm of possibility, and then you just hope he doesn't throw six picks to go along with it.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, okay, here's bringing up a question there. Jacksonville, the state they're in, some of these other teams, Tampa Bay, the Giants, Pittsburgh, there's probably going to be some coaching changes. I'm assuming after this year, going into next year.
I would say so.
And, of course, the guy that always comes up is Bill Cowher as far as replacing someone. And apparently he had this to say, that he does not return. He did not get out of the game to come back.
He's made that pretty clear. And he's been flirted with for much better jobs than anything that's going to be out there this year. I legitimately believe he's done. He seems happy. Talk about an easy gig, that Sunday morning show on any of these networks, on this, on CBS. I assume he shows up in New York, what, probably Thursday? I don't even know that. I'm making this up. Thursday, Friday. Does some interviews, sits there, talks some football, and he's out of town quickly Sunday night. I think it's a good gig. I think he enjoys it. He's got plenty of money. He seems like one of those guys that really – look, he basically left on top. 2 years removed from a Super Bowl, still had a good squad. His team won the Super Bowl 2 years later. I don't think – you know, he left at the top. I think he was just done. And, yeah, I don't see Bill Cowher mulling a comeback.
No, I don't either. I think it's like you said, it's a pretty nice gig that he has. You know, quoting him, he says, "I would never say that," is, you know, referring to would he never coach again. He said, "I would never say that. I don't know how I'll feel in 2 years." Never say never, because then you become a hypocrite. So, I mean, he's leaving the door open.
Yeah, you never know.
There's no plans to it anyway.
Here's a story that, Rick, this annoys the hell out of me.
Lots of things do.
Well, that's true. It's, what, 90 minutes to 10:30, 11:30? No, 2 hours and a half. I'm not smart. 2.5 hours from kickoff, week 6 of the NFL season. All the great storylines. I just refresh my NFL.com as I'm trying to give you the most up-to-date information, because that's what I do. And what's the top headline, Rick, on the NFL Network? Do you happen to be on it over there?
I am not.
Here is the top headline 2 hours before kickoff in week 6 of the NFL. Brett Favre in great shape, but not mulling an NFL comeback.
Oh.
Will he just go away? And why do we, and I may be a little over the top comparing us, we as media, but I'm going to, for purposes of this argument, I'm going to do it. Why do we continue to give this any run? Why is that the number one story right now on NFL.com?
I have no idea. I just, maybe he has a deal with them. Keep him in every few weeks, and I have no idea. It's ridiculous. Nobody cares.
Yeah, I mean, Rachel Nichols doesn't work for ESPN anymore, so she doesn't need to be camp out on his lawn for weeks on end to maintain her job status. So I'm sorry, that's way off topic. We got a lot of show to get to, but that actually angered me. But I've had a visceral response to that.
Yeah, it is. It's ridiculous. Why don't we mull back the comeback of Dan Marino or somebody?
It's no different to me at this point. The man's over 40 years old. Just move on. Just move on. Rick, I don't know where. I think I just gave a ridiculous start, so why don't you give a reasonable one to
listeners
we have left.
Excuse me. You were giving ridiculous starts, and I have to be the rock of logic.
The what now? The rock of logic.
The rock of logic.
Rock
I
head,
like that.
That's for sure.
I tell you what. We're at starts. It is so tough coming up with starts that aren't obvious. But
this week especially, I struggled.
Yeah, it is. And, I mean, if you've got basically Dallas Cowboys in your lineup, get them in there. You know, that's the thing that I'm having a little problem with. You know, we can say, well, Pierre Garçon's, well, yeah, get him in there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be Dallas Washington. I have a feeling it's going to be a lot of points scored in that one. Of course, I said that about Green Bay and Detroit.
Yeah, that became a field goal situation.
Exactly. But I think against a Green Bay offense, you better have Ray Rice in there. And obviously you're going to. But I think Ray Rice is going to have a big day this week.
Yeah, definitely a big day. I think you're probably starting him every week when healthy. Although his name comes up in some questions as he struggled this year. Moving on to the sits, Rick. I'm going to sit. Now, this is maybe a short-term fix, and it has nothing to do with the matchup. I actually like the matchup. But Julian Edelman going up against New Orleans, I think Julian Edelman is a sit until such time as Danny Amendola gets hurt again, which could have happened while I was reading that sentence, I grant you. But targets way down, I believe only 6 or 7 targets last week. Obviously, never was a yardage guy when he's putting up his numbers. It was all in a PPR format, over 10 catches. That's Danny Amendola's rule. Julian Edelman's a guy I think you sit down and don't cut him. Rest easy. Amendola will get hurt again. Like I said, he may get hurt tying his shoes before the game today. But while Amendola's healthy, I don't think you can trust Julian Edelman.
Yeah, I agree. And his value has really plummeted the last couple of weeks for sure. And I don't know what New England's game plan is going to be. I have a feeling they're going to have to shoot it out big time against New Orleans. There may be some value there, but if Amendola's in there, I think he's going to be the guy. Yeah, and I agree with you 100%. I tell you, a guy talking about coming back starting this week, but I think you better keep him on the bench, is Darren McFadden. They're going into Kansas City, and Arrowhead is not an easy place, even when Chiefs aren't very good. But they are very good this year, and I don't want Darren McFadden this week at all.
Yeah, whatever your backup plan was for the last couple of weeks, go ahead and use it one more week. I think the Raiders just get – maybe they go in there and win. These classic rivalry games tend to have a funny way of working out. But it just looks like they're walking into a buzzsaw. So, yeah, no question about that.
It does, but Oakland has been pretty competitive this year. They're 2-3. I mean, they had a nice win on San Diego. And
dominated San Diego, really.
Indeed. So,
not that you saw any of that when it started at 11:30 Eastern. I'm guessing you didn't watch too much of that game.
No, but DVR is nice.
All right, Rick, my watch list this week, maybe I push him into a start, but I'm going to keep him on the watch list just so we can have this discussion. Danny Woodhead on Monday night versus Indy has 29 catches since week two. Looks like Ryan Matthews is now, they just upgraded him to probable. Looks like he's going to play, but Woodhead got the, I actually saw this game, or at least the beginning of it. I don't think I made it to the bitter end. Danny Woodhead actually started that game last week before Ryan Matthews got hurt. In a PPR format especially, I think Danny Woodhead is making the argument to become a start, but certainly a guy you wouldn't have thought going into week one or week two you'd be asking questions about. Danny Woodhead may be, especially in a PPR format, a legitimate start.
Oh, I agree. I don't trust Matthews. I don't think he's going to get much of a workload. He's hurt a lot anyway. And, yeah, I like what Woodhead's becoming in San Diego.
Yeah, so what do we got, Rick? We got about 5 minutes. Let's run through them right one more time. Looking at the starts, Rick, here's a guy.
Tell you what, for a couple minutes, let's run through real quick. How do you see Green Bay and Baltimore?
Oh, we gonna do the games here?
I think at least mentioning some of the matchups is pretty key, to be honest with you.
All right, well, let's do it. Green Bay, Baltimore, that game is in Baltimore. Boy, that's a pick'em game, Rick. That one's tough for me. I have to think Green Bay goes in there. I don't love Baltimore secondary. I think Aaron Rodgers can have his way with them. I think Green Bay wins that game on the road.
Yeah, I have them the same way. I like what Green Bay. I'm tired of trying to figure out Baltimore.
Yeah, all or nothing with that team.
It is. You jump on their bandwagon and they play lousy, and you jump off and they step up and they look like band beaters. But the third overall offense is Green Bay against the 20th of Baltimore's. I like Green Bay. Philadelphia at Tampa Bay.
Tampa's just a mess. Philadelphia has enough firepower even without Michael Vick. I think Philadelphia goes in there and wins that game in a walk.
Really? I have it by a touchdown, but I do like the Eagles. So here's an interesting one. Pittsburgh at New York Jets.
Boy, this is tough. If this game was at Heinz Field, I'd say Pittsburgh's not going to go 0-5. Coming off that bye week, looks like Mike Tomlin sort of muscled up on his team a little bit. Those stories that he took all the foosball tables and pool tables and everything out of the locker room. I think that stuff does have a way of motivating guys. I'm worried about it with it being with the Jets. I think this is an ugly, sloppy game. I really do. And I think the Steelers find a way to win this game and finally get in the win column here in 2013.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be in the trenches a lot. But a loss destroys the Steelers totally. I mean, even logically, a loss doesn't destroy the Jets. And I think Pittsburgh pulls it out by maybe five, less than a touchdown.
Yeah, I think it's going to be sloppy. It's going to be ugly. I think I'm going to be watching the Red Zone channel about midway through the second quarter because I just can't bear to watch it anymore. Now, granted, Ben Roethlisberger may die. There's a good chance of that, but I think they find a way. I think it's still the organization being what it is. I think they find a way to not go 0-5, although I'd have said that about the Giants going into this week as well.
Definitely. Carolina at Minnesota.
Boy, that's interesting there. Carolina, boy, the defense has been tough. They've got some weapons there. D'Angelo Williams has been performing. I don't see them taking that show on the road. I like what the Vikings do. You obviously have the Adrian Peterson factor. I think the Vikings probably by a touchdown find a way to win that game at home.
I'm disagreeing slightly. It's, you know, I think Castle's starting. You know, Freeman, they've picked up Freeman. AP, of course, the tragic situation there. You don't know what you're going to get there. Yeah, Carolina's defense is pretty good. And I like what Steve Smith brings to offer. I think if you got Steve Smith, you probably need to get him in your lineup too. But I like Panthers by about 3 going into Minnesota. Oakland at Kansas City. I think you've already said you like Kansas City and a walk there. I like Kansas City by about 10. St. Louis at Houston.
I think Matt Schaub, this is where he gets healthy right here against that St. Louis defense, especially going on the road. I don't know how St. Louis moves the ball as bad as that offense has been. I think this is one of those games where Matt Schaub puts up cartoon numbers, and this is a total blowout.
Okay, I don't think it's a total blowout, but I have them by 2 scores, so I agree with you there. I like Houston. I don't think they're as bad as what they've been playing the last couple of weeks, so I think St. Louis is what the doctor ordered.
That's a good team to get healthy on right there.
Cincinnati at Buffalo.
That's an interesting game right there. Cincinnati heading on the road after a big, big win over New England last week at home. Every part of me wants to pick Buffalo, Rick, because of the way they've been playing. But the way they've been playing, them guys ain't there. They're starting. I can't even remember this kid's name. They're going to start a quarterback.
He is the practice squad quarterback, basically, Thad Lewis.
Yeah, and I guess he blew the coaching staff away in practice this week. They're real high on him. I think it's going to be different when the lights turn on today. And I think Cincinnati, I think Buffalo's game, with that running game, they've been able to turn you over. They played a pretty decent defense this year, just don't have enough horses, and I think Cincinnati wins that game.
Yeah, I mean, Spiller's questionable at best right now, and Stevie Johnson's nursing that sore back, plus, you know, Thad Lewis. I tell you what, I think Fred Jackson is about the only weapon they have left.
I was going to say, as an aside note, Fred Jackson was next on my start list in that game. Double-digit fantasy points every week. He's going to be the only game in town this week. Assuming they find the end zone, it's going to be Fred Jackson to get there, but not enough to win the game.
No, I have Bengals like 28-14, 2 touchdowns. Detroit at Cleveland.
That's interesting there. It may have a lot more to do with what Calvin Johnson does. If he ends up playing, which is looking more and more like he is, as I try to keep up with this. But I think Cleveland at home, they got it rolling with that defense. I like Cleveland this week.
All right. I'm liking Cleveland. I like their defense. But I tell you what, I'm going with Lions on the road, pulling one out of Cleveland. Just mild upset this week. And if you want to see how I see everything with my ranch, you can go to asylumfantasyfootball.com. And go to the Briggs' blog tab and
don't go
read
to Fleeger's
that
blog.
And you are listening to Fleeger and Briggs, the Asylum Fantasy Football Show on Blog Talk Radio.
And on the Real Fan Sports Network at rfsportsradio.com.
All right, Tennessee at Seattle.
That's an interesting game. If that was in Tennessee, I would entertain it a little bit. Tennessee will not, Ryan Fitzpatrick will not go into Seattle and win that game. Seattle keeps it rolling.
I agree, and Russell Wilson's one of my watch lists. I know Tennessee's defense has been pretty good, but I can see Seattle cranking up a little bit. Titans can't run the ball.
No.
And that's just as simple as that, and I see the Seahawks doubling them up. I got 34-17.
Yeah, I think if that game was in Tennessee, I might kick it around a little bit because really for the winning they've done, Seattle's offense is very unimpressive. But at home, that's probably the toughest place to travel to and to play in the NFL. So,
Jacksonville at Denver.
Excuse me as I clear my throat. I don't think there's any need to discuss that one. I am going to go Denver 118, Jacksonville. I'm going to give Jacksonville, I think they score a few times late in the fourth quarter, 118-27.
Hey, you know the old saying, any given Sunday, right? No, not this case. I don't see any chance. Anyway, Jacksonville can pull it out. If they can keep within 20, I would consider it a moral victory. But I have Broncos 47, Jags 17.
Did you give any thought to, because I did sitting here, I knew this was going to come up, taking the ridiculous stance that I believe Jacksonville is going to win just on that 1% chance, that any given Sunday chance that they were right, and I could just blare this over the airwaves for about 4 straight weeks. I don't have the guts to do it, but I got to be honest, I considered it a little bit.
What, Jacksonville beat Denver?
Yeah.
Okay, I just didn't consider it. So,
if but you, if self-serving you want, as I am.
If you want to
it's too
promote
late
that prediction,
I already went 118-27.
I'll let you reverse it.
Nah.
Okay.
Nah, I don't think there's any turning back after I declare Denver's going to score over 100.
Great matchup. New Orleans at New England. New England has been struggling of late. You know, they're 4-1, but they are struggling offensively. And Tom Brady and his new receivers still not really on the same page. Amendola banged up. He's kind of iffy a little bit. Their running game's really not all that stellar.
No.
Do they have enough to outgun New Orleans?
Everything measurable tells me New Orleans is going to win this game. I'm going to go with New England, and here's why. Belichick doesn't lose twice in a row. Belichick doesn't lose at home, especially after as poorly as they played last week. Just who this team is, they're not going to drop two in a row. I can't give you any analysis because by every measurable analysis to me, New Orleans should win this game. Just based on who New England is, who Bill Belichick is, I'm going to take New England.
Okay, Gronk's not going to be back. And really, even if he was, what kind of game shape would be in? He obviously would make a big difference, but he's not playing. The Saints are looking good, and their defense has really stepped up big. I just don't think, even in New England, I'm not sure right now at this stage of the season, New England has enough firepower to stick with them, and I'm taking the Saints by a touchdown.
Ooh, bold pick. Well, not a bold pick. You're probably right. It's just...
Oh, and just reading in the chat room... Jay Glazer reports that Calvin Johnson will play third down in red zone if his knee isn't swelling after pregame testing, assuming that means he won't play first and second down no matter what.
All right, what do you do with Calvin Johnson then? There's the discussion. Is third down in red zone, is half of Calvin Johnson better than most other guys in the league? That's a discussion now.
Yes.
I think he's still a play.
I think... Of course, it depends on your options, but I think if he's going to play, you have to have Calvin Johnson in your lineup.
Yeah,
and that's just me.
All right, Rick, what choices would you have? Here's the thing. Probably if you took Calvin Johnson first, we went on a run of drafting running backs after that. You're probably pretty – you don't have a lot of receiver depth. Who could you have? Hey, here's the name that keeps popping up, Rick. Calvin Johnson or Justin Blackmon this week?
Blackmon.
Calvin Johnson or Dwayne Bowe?
I tell you what, with the stats that Bowe's been putting up, I think I have to go Calvin.
Yeah, boy, this is tough. This puts you in a tough situation. It's going to be a situational thing. I guess get your questions and look at them one-on-one, assuming that in fact is true. Boy, that's tough. It's really going to be a matchup play. It's, you know, Calvin Johnson going up against Hayden as it is. Look, nobody stops Calvin Johnson, but maybe a guy like Hayden could slow him down a little bit. You put this factor in. I have to think Detroit's going to be able, well, without him playing on first and second down, are they going to be able to move the ball well enough to put Calvin Johnson in a position
to
score a touchdown?
Well, they still have
touchdown.
Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
And Brandon Pettigrew, for what he's worth, he's making a bit of a impact here just recently, but not – you have to have Calvin in there. But I'm saying, right now, half of Calvin's better than still half the league right now.
Probably. It's going to be a matchup.
All right, let's hit, well, real quick. I have the 49ers by actually less than a touchdown over Arizona. Have Dallas squeaking out one over the Redskins and the Colts edging the Chargers. And here's a couple of questions
all
in the
right,
chat room before Scott
on
comes
this.
On.
Yeah, we'll get a hold of Scott here in about 8 minutes.
And this is a very good question because I can see where this question is coming from. Griffin or Brady?
Oh, boy, Griffin has huge games against Dallas. So, yeah, definitely an interesting question there. That game being played in Dallas, can you ever sit down Tom Brady? Look, RG3, he's just not the same. He ain't the same cat he was last year. He was going through and looking at some of the starts and sits around the interwebs yesterday. RG3 seems to be a top start for a lot of people. That may be true, Rick. I'm a little risk-averse when it comes to the quarterback position. This coming from the guy who recommended to start Chad Henne. But I'm going to go ahead and play Tom Brady.
Yeah, that is – boy, I tell you, that is a tough question. Everything in me wants to say, okay, you've got so much more upside with Griffin. But then you see Brady and probably playing anybody else. I would go with Griffin, but with the shootout that's probably inevitably going to entail in New England with the Saints, logic tells me to take Brady. But I'll tell you what, I'm going Griffin. I think just with his, it's just Dallas, Washington.
Yeah,
and
he's going to have a big week.
It could be a wild week, and I'm going to go Griffin.
As poor as Tom Brady was last week, and back to the point I made with Belichick and this team in general, I cannot foresee Tom Brady having 2 weeks like that in a row. Now, he hasn't had the big week. He hasn't had the Tom Brady week. I just think if it's going to happen, this could be the week.
It
again,
better be.
You're right. Robert Griffin isn't who he was last year.
I agree.
He hasn't come back fully from that injury. Understandably, saying nothing of him and his ability to recover. He's just not the same guy. If you take that read option out, if he's not scrambling around, if you're not scared of that, I don't think he's good enough to stand back there and pick Dallas. Obviously,
I
not
just
a great
love
defense.
Alfred Morris.
You're right.
Running against the Dallas run defense, and I think it's opening up Griffin and more opportunities for him. That's basically why I'm taking Griffin.
We'll just have to disagree on that one, but I don't fault anybody for playing RG3 in that scenario.
All right. Pettis. This is non-PPR.
Okay.
Pettis, Cotchery, or Edelman over Chris Johnson.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, see, these are the situations you get into when we both recommend sitting Chris Johnson. So, Pettis, I just don't trust. He seems to be the guy there in St. Louis, if there's a guy in St. Louis. Cotchery's interesting. Here's a guy, especially if they get behind. I'm not sure that happens this week. He's sort of the third down receiver, putting up some nice numbers. But
he's finding a nice niche in that offense.
He is.
He's the only one.
He's starting to look like Ben Roethlisberger's go-to guy. However, you know what happened? They say about everything before but or however. Heath Miller's back and healthy. Does Heath Miller slide back into that role, and does that tip Cotchery down a little bit? Cotchery seemed to be in that Heath Miller role in those early games in the year. Julian Edelman, I'll tell you what, I recommended to sit Edelman, but in this case, would you start Edelman over Chris Johnson, Rick? That's the way I'm leaning.
I think playing the Saints, I would play him over him. Now, in non-PPR, I'm not real thrilled with Edelman because you may get 8-9 catches, but you might only get 45 yards.
I'm starting to think, Rick,
I'm thinking Cotchery, to be honest with you.
My start of the week, I think I'm still playing Chris Johnson in this scenario. This is that situation where you just don't have anybody better. So I think it's going to be ugly. Believe me, it's going to be ugly. But I think Chris Johnson, is there more upside with Cotchery? Maybe. But he's going to have to get in the end zone to do anything legitimate. Antonio Brown getting the first looks everywhere. Don't trust Pettis. I'm going to recommend.
He had CJ in the chat room, but we're actually talking Calvin, not Chris.
Oh, Calvin. No, play Calvin Johnson over all three of those.
Yeah, I would have to. Well, yeah, I would have to agree, I think. Cotchery's intriguing to me.
Cotchery's
just simply against that Jet defense.
Right.
I don't think they're going to be giving up the big play. And I think Cotchery is going to be valuable underneath in some of these shorter routes and maybe some red zone catches. Then again, Calvin's going to be in the red zone. I think half of Chris Johnson's still a better play.
It's half of Calvin Johnson. You can't get
off
of that.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, here's Calvin, the thing. The only guy on that list I'm even considering is Cotchery. Cotchery's basically a third down and red zone guy. If they're declaring that's what Calvin's doing, I'm guessing Calvin's going to be better at it. Now, you have the risk, and here's the disclaimer out there. If his knee isn't swelling after warm-ups.
Right.
So you have that risk. He could play one series, be out for the game. That's a risk you're going to have to take. So out of that list, let's put it this way. We're going to hedge a little bit to cover our butts. Out of that list of three you gave me, it's Cotchery. Then you'll have to decide how much risk you're willing to take at Calvin Johnson.
And let's bear in mind, half of Calvin is still going to receive the top coverage, whereas a Cotchery is not going to be. I think maybe Cotchery is worth the risk. Especially if that knee starts swelling up.
Right. But that's what we're not going to know.
Right. Okay, here's one more here, non-PPR league. Stephen Hill or Chris Givens?
Oh, boy. Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
I'll tell you what, I like Stephen Hill against that Pittsburgh defense.
Steelers have been so bad, I think you're right.
Number one, Steelers have no turnovers. I see that turned around today. I think they're going to at least get one, be it a fumble or interception, something.
They have to at some point, right?
They just don't have a pass rush. And hence, I think that Stephen Hill is obviously going to be getting some catches. They need a leader to step up on that Pittsburgh defense.
Yeah.
There are no vocal leaders out there, period. And it is sadly showing. So, but no, I like Stephen Hill against that with Chris Givens.
I agree 100%. Chris Givens, a big disappointment. He's a guy I was high on in the offseason. Sam Bradford just hasn't panned out. That Rams offense has been terrible. They can't get a running game going. Hill, probably the number one option there with the Jets, and that Steelers secondary has been vulnerable. So I agree.
All right. So we're creeping up to fish time here.
Yeah, coming up to the 11 o'clock hour here on the Asylum Fantasy Football Show. Sunday morning slant at asylumfantasyfootball.com. Still got time to get some questions in. We're going to bring Scott in with the machine. We'll get those answered at Asylum Football, asylumfootball@gmail.com. And as always, you're hearing us on Sunday on the Real Fan Sports Radio Network at rfsportsradio.com. Rick, if you pad a little bit, I'm going to give Scott a call.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to pad an announcement. We're going to be moving in mid-November to Thursdays.
Yes. Yes.
And we will be the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show, and we will be on Blog Talk, but we will also be carried on the Armed Forces Radio Network as part of the fantasy lineup that they have planned, and we're really excited about that.
Yeah, no question about it. Every Saturday will be a Fantasy Saturday on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Give them a follow at the AFRN on Twitter. Please do that. Let our boy Dennis know you heard about it here.
Yes,
so,
indeed.
Rick, we are joined now by our buddy Scott Fish of the FFOA.com. Scott, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. I just wanted to warn everybody they might not want to listen to me because I think I used up all my luck last week getting all those right. I got sat up from my couch doing the Rick Briggs patent pending chest thump. It was pretty nice.
Yeah. Oh, that's running against the wall and falling over.
Before we jump into the questions, what's new over at FFOAxis.com?
Well, we got same stuff every week pretty much. We got the pick'em that everybody should get in and try. I'm currently 53-24 picking the games on the year, feeling pretty good about that. But if you can beat me, you can win stuff. So get over there and do that. And I do want to give a little plug for my FF Oasis Invitational. Go to FFOasis.com/FFOI and sign up for next year because we're hoping that we have 120 teams this year. We'd like to get 180, maybe even 240 for next year would be nice.
Yes, and it is it's a blast. We're in the – In fact, right now, and I'm going to do the patent-pending Rick Briggs chest thump, I believe, tied for the lead in the Jerry Rice division, I think.
I am not tied for the lead in my division.
I think I am. I don't know. There's so many leagues, I can't remember what, but I'm doing pretty good, and it's very fun.
But now we're talking about the FF Oasis. Rick, I remember I haven't made my suicide pick for the week for which I haven't been eliminated, unlike you. So why don't you ask Scott the first question while I jump on that? Very professional, I know.
Well, yes, and as soon as I find my questions, and here they are. The first question is going to be kind of interesting because it's a defense question. Carolina defense or the Bucs defense?
Well, the machine doesn't do defenses, unfortunately, so all you get is me on this one. And I think it really depends on your scoring. If it's me, I'm taking the Bucs. Part of it because I'm a Vikings fan. But they're pretty even in sacks. They're pretty even in defensive special teams, TDs allowed. Minnesota allows more interceptions, but mostly Minnesota gets 300 yards, and they've scored over 24 points and 300 total yards every game. You're not getting any bonuses there playing the Vikings. So I think I'd go with the Bucs at Philly or versus Philly.
Yeah, I concur there. I think it's pretty close, but I like the Bucs at home. I like their secondary, and I'm going to have to go with the Bucs there. I think it's going to be close. Carolina, they do just enough to lose the games and blame a lot of it on the offense, but I do like the Bucs in this.
I will make it unanimous on that one, Rick. And I think there was a question you were wondering earlier. I think we're going to get the answer to it. I believe we've got Jersey on the line. Good morning, Jersey. How's it going?
Hey, gentlemen. Good morning, man. Hey, I appreciate your help here. A couple quick questions. In my 5-0 league, it's that PPR league, quarterbacks, you know, you throw for 300 yards, 350 yards, bonus points, point every 20 yards. I went with Rivers last year, which was a good move. Do I go Rivers or Stafford? And then also a tight end, do I go Heath Miller or Jermichael Finley? Then I have a quarterback question for Junior in that league, and that's it. Appreciate your help. What you got?
All right. I think Rivers, Stafford, I think that's a pretty easy one, especially with the Calvin Johnson news right now. I like Phil Rivers on Monday night going up against Indy. Pretty good defense there in Indy. I think Stafford could struggle. No Calvin Johnson on the road in Cleveland playing a pretty good brand of defense. And, Rick, for me, especially in this game where they're going to be trying to eke yards out against a tough defense, I like Heath Miller over Jermichael Finley.
I agree 100%. I'm going Rivers all the way over Stafford. Yeah, Stafford maybe without Calvin or at least only part-time going against Cleveland in Cleveland. I like Rivers a lot better, and certainly I like Heath Miller. I think Heath Miller is the best tight end in football all around, maybe not receiving, but I think he's certainly Ben's security blanket against a tough Jet defense, and I think he's a good play.
Wow, right, it's going to be unanimous from everyone. I have Heath Miller and Rivers as well, and so does the machine. I'll let you get to your next question since it's unanimous. Yep,
and you may have answered it for me for Junior since you were talking about. He has six. Yes, sir.
Hang on a minute. I gotta ask you, how Junior doing the civil service test?
He took the prep test and did real well on that. He takes the other one, either the real test in November or December. But he's trying to get into state police here. He's in the phase. We're just hoping that they send him a letter so they can start the background check. Here's a kid that took fifth in the state wrestling in 08, scored extremely high on the physical fitness stuff. So we're hoping with the Lord and stuff that they open their eyes and this is the type of kid you want in the state here. So hopefully he can go that route too. You know what I mean? That's always been his dream. My father was the fire chief for City of Camden years ago, and he was liaison between the governor's office in the city back then. So, again, Pop's passed away, but here's a good kid that deserves to be in here. By the grace of God, we hope he does get in that avenue. But he's taking a civil service test, too. But thanks for asking, guys. I appreciate it. His question is, does he go Kaepernick or Foles since Vic's hurt? And I think you may have answered the question based on Tampa Bay's defense, but which one do you like?
Well, that is – I tell you what, I think I have to go – be honest with you, I'm not on Kaepernick's bandwagon, and I know they're playing a lot better, and but they're playing at home. They're playing a tough Arizona defense. Foles, boy, I tell you what, I think I'm going to go Kaepernick.
Yeah, I agree.
I really do.
It's closer than it should be based on where Colin Kaepernick was drafted. Foles, I think he's got a tough matchup there defensively. You're not sure what you're going to get. You're not a great preseason out of Nick Foles. Look, Foles could come out there and have a big week. I'm going to go with the more known commodity in Kaepernick and just hope you get good Colin Kaepernick. What do you think, Scott?
Yeah, I'm with you. The machine has it, Kaepernick, extremely close, and I'm with you guys. I don't think I can sit Kaepernick just with his running ability just yet. I'll take him in hope.
Yeah, I think that's what it comes down to. Well, Jersey, somehow we managed to all four be unanimous in all these, so I hope it works out for you this week.
Hey, guys, thank you very much again. Thanks for asking about Junior. Best of luck to you guys this week in your leagues, and we'll talk next Sunday. Thanks a lot, and good luck.
All right, have a good one, Jersey. All right, Rick, what else you got? We got about 20 minutes left.
Well, we had a little report in the chat room here. It says All-Pro wide receiver Calvin Johnson now running routes in pregame at First Energy Stadium. Yeah. So, you know, it looks like he's going to be at least the part-time Calvin anyway.
Yeah, so.
Okay, here's a trade question. Oh, no, here's one here I don't want to skip over. And this is a difficult question. It is PPR. Larry Fitzgerald or Pierre Thomas?
Oh, boy, we recommended to sit Larry Fitzgerald, Pierre Thomas. You know, Pierre Thomas is interesting, even in a PPR. Darren Sproles, we talked about on Tuesday, what a disappointment he's been. I just logically can't, and I don't even have any statistical data to back it up. We'll let the machine take care of that one. I can't in good conscience sit Larry Fitzgerald versus a Pierre Thomas. I recommended to sit Fitzgerald, but I'm looking for probably better options than him. That's tough for me, but I'm going to go with Larry Fitzgerald there.
My problem with this one is Larry Fitzgerald is obviously the number one guy for Arizona. Pierre Thomas is the other guy. And what I mean by that is with New Orleans, it's Jimmy Graham and the other guy.
Yeah.
Every week. It may be Colston, it may be Sproles, it may be Thomas, whatever. Therefore, I got to go to Larry Fitzgerald. You know what you're getting with Larry Fitzgerald. If Carson Palmer does have any time to pass, he's going to be the main target. And
it's a big if, though. That's the problem.
That is a big if against San Francisco. But I think with everything going, I still think, and this is just a gut feeling here, everything tells me to go with Fitzgerald. I think you go with Thomas. You get the rushing yards, and he's making some catches. I think you go with Pierre Thomas.
Well, the machine has it Fitzgerald by a decent amount, and wow, that is really, really close, closer than it ever should have been. But I think I'm going to lean Fitz as well. It's or not as well as you, but as well as Flieger. Even though he's playing the third best defense versus versus fantasy wide receivers, I don't know if Pierre Thomas is going to show up or if Sproles is going to take everything. I just don't like that. So I'm going to stick with Fitz and his 5 for 80, maybe a touchdown line he'll get.
Yeah, and that's what it's going to come down to. You're hoping for that touchdown.
Exactly.
He's not going to have a 7 or 8 catch performance. You hope he finds the end zone.
And I think that's why I picked this question, because it is, to me, a lot closer than it should be. So anyway, okay, we will go to a trade question, and this is basically not for the machine, but it's just for an opinion. Should I trade Reggie Bush for Eli and Alshon Jeffrey? It's PPR.
No.
Let me finish.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's PPR. Already have Martin and Sproles, and Kaepernick is my quarterback. I say no.
No. I'm starting Reggie Bush over all of those guys without question. I think Eli, just a turnover machine, has been a massive disappointment. Kaepernick, I don't trust, but you're probably at worst coming out of wash at the quarterback position. And I'm not giving up on Reggie Bush. He's just huge week in and week out.
Well, I think I'm I would not trade Reggie Bush for Alshon unless you really need the wide receiver help. On mine, I didn't see what wide receivers for sure yet, but Eli Manning, I'd do it in a heartbeat. So just because I don't think he needs Eli.
Yeah, no question about it. We'll jump to the next one here. I don't know. Rick ran off again. I hope he's not vomiting again. Hopefully he'll be back soon. Pick one for a flex position, Scott, in a PPR. James Jones, Anquan Boldin, or T.Y. Hilton?
You know, the machine has
not vomiting.
it's just one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the machine has Boldin by actually a decent amount, and I just can't do that. You've already mentioned Arizona's pasty, and I think everybody knows about that. I just can't take them. They're ninth best against wide receivers. James Jones, sometimes he completely disappears, and I think I'll take Hilton versus San Diego, and like you mentioned at the top, they're the top five worst in every category. I like his chances to put up some nice numbers against San Diego, so I'll take Hilton.
Yeah, easy for me. My start of the week, I think Rick will probably make that one unanimous. Huh?
Oh, no doubt about that. I think that one's pretty easy. Now, James Jones certainly has some big upside, but like Scott mentioned, he can disappear on you, but I like T.Y. Hilton. Let's go to the chat room. We got some. I want to answer those before we go back to the ones on the paper, or I'll lose them. Non-PPR. Spiller, Marino, or Bernard? I think, to me, it's Marino.
Yeah, probably. In a PPR, I love Gio Bernard this week. I just still, law firms getting so many of those carries. Spiller, like, you just don't trust C.J. Spiller right now with what Fred Jackson's doing. Lack of quarterback play at that team. I think it's Marino for me. I want anybody associated, even who used to play for Denver, starting this week on my fantasy squad.
The machine also picks Moreno, and I don't even think it's close. I think I got Moreno just because I think Denver's going to get ahead enough that they'll run a little more. And Moreno's been so solid recently that you can basically pencil him in for 15 to 20 touches.
Right. Okay, PPR league, pick 3 out of 4. Julian Edelman, Pierre Garçon, Ted Ginn Jr., Terrence Williams. I think the guy to sit is Ted Ginn. And in PPR, I think Edelman presents a little value. I like Garçon. I think he's a must-start against Dallas. And, look, with Austin's hamstring, I know he's supposedly going to fall right back into his featured role, which puts Williams in the background. But I don't know if he'll pull it after the first round or not. So I'm going to go Williams.
Yeah, it's a tough spot to be in. I'm going to agree just because Ginn being who he was, I initially scratched off Edelman the moment I wrote his name down. But with these guys, yeah, I don't expect a whole lot from Ted Ginn. So sort of plug your nose in and start Julian Edelman this week.
Well, it's pick 3 out of 4. I think I'm sitting Terrence Williams. I think Austin does start. And just being a Vikings fan for many years, I've watched guys like Anthony Gonzalez and Preston Parker. That third wide receiver, those little quick guys, just destroy us for no good reason. I think Ted Ginn Jr. has a better day than people are expecting. And I'm, of course, starting Edelman and Garçon. So I'll sit Terrence Williams.
Okay, that'll be interesting there. Okay, 4-point pass TD. -1 for an interception. Luck or Rivers?
Oh, I'm telling you, Philip Rivers is an every week start for me. Look, I love Luck going up against Rivers' defense this week, but Phil Rivers, I just think I can't sit him down. He's an every week start for me. This is one that probably could come back and bite me, and you drafted Luck as your number one, probably picked up Rivers on waivers early in the year, but Rivers is an every week start for me.
Well, the machine says Andrew Luck by the slightest of margins, and I'm with you with Rivers being an every week start in most situations. I'm going to take Luck over a Chargers defense that hasn't stopped the pass yet this year. I feel like you're going to see at least 250, a couple touchdowns. I'm going Luck, but barely.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. It's barely, but I still think I'm going to go Phillip Rivers just simply because I think he's going to throw for more. I don't think their running game is as good as Indianapolis, and Indianapolis has a more complete offense. So I just think your potential is a little better with Rivers by a slight margin.
With a classic coin flip, we help no one there, Rick.
Yes, that's what we like to do. Okay. All right, McFadden is supposed to be coming back this week. I had to pick up Willis McGahee. Should I start McFadden anyway?
Over McGahee,
yes.
Is that the question? No. I think we talked about earlier in the show, McGahee, does he have a huge week? Statistically, no, but I think the volume play there, McFadden, is he actually healthy? Is he going to finish the game going into that buzzsaw in Kansas City? I'm going to take the safe route. I'm going to take the volume, and I'm going to go with Willis McGahee.
I agree. I don't even think it's close, to be honest with you. I don't trust McFadden coming back against Kansas City to boot. So, I think McGahee certainly has a lot of upside against Detroit.
You know, the machine takes McGahee by a ton here, and honestly, with McFadden still slightly hobbled possibly, and in KC, I think I'd even take Rick Briggs with a knee brace on and some shoulder pads in the Detroit game. So
Rick Briggs backing is really starting to become a feature of the show here.
Well, that's a compliment. I'm saying I would take you to start over McFadden.
Yeah, and you look at Darren McFadden and the
physical
shape.
Well, the thing is, playing
in
against Kansas City, I would probably die, and McFadden might too.
Well, you may die on the flight over there. So, I mean, that's a risk we're going to have to take. I couldn't agree with Scott more. Unfortunately, you can't plug your name into the machine. You're probably not there, but I'm guessing the machine will give you a slight edge in that matchup as well.
That would be interesting, yes. That would be nice to see Rick Briggs come ahead.
We call JJ and get Rick Briggs added to the machine somehow.
I'll do that right now.
Thanks. All right, here's one. I don't envy the position this guy's in. Chris Johnson at Seattle or Zach Stacy at Houston?
Oh, yeah, that's tough. But I think it's got to be Zach Stacy. Yeah, God, I don't like it. But, yeah, Chris Johnson, you know, I said there's probably 30 guys. I'll start over him. I've got to imagine Zach Stacy's one of those guys. You're in rough shape this week. I just think there is no upside to Chris Johnson whatsoever this week. Stacy might surprise you.
Let's see. The machine says Chris Johnson by the slightest hair. I'm with you, Flieger. I just disagree. I think Stacy's, even though I know Stacy's hobbled, unless Chris Johnson gets one of those big plays that Chris Johnson is prone to do, he's not going to get much this week. I want Stacy against the 10th worst D versus running backs.
Yeah, boy, for the sake of argument, even though this guy is looking for advice, I think I would probably roll with Chris Johnson.
Wow.
Look, MJD actually even found the end zone against Seattle. And I think the upside with Johnson. So in a matchup that tight, I think I would have to roll with Johnson just because I know I drafted him and I know there's not much there. But Zach Stacy hobbled a little bit. Look, St. Louis can't run the ball either, so I'm going with Johnson.
All right, Rick, on an island alone with Chris Johnson. Before we get to the next question, Rick, we got a call, area code 609. Good morning.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, not much. How's it going?
Oh, hanging in there. I have a tough question on my lineup this week. I'm in a 12-team PPR, and I have a decent running back situation, a decent receiver situation, but it's the flex that's catching me. Well, my running backs are, I have McCoy, Trent Richardson, and Reggie Bush. And my three receivers that I'm deciding, and one of them can be a flex interchanging with Richardson if possible, is Colson, Antonio Brown, and T.Y. Hilton.
So we need to sit one of those guys down, I guess, then?
Yeah, well, I can either go three running backs or three receivers. So one of them is going to be the odd man out for the flex, you know.
That's a good problem to have, Rick.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you certainly starting McCoy, and in my mind you're starting Bush with the shootout with New England. I think Colston, you got to get in there, and I think you got to get Hilton in there. So I'm leaning to sit Brown.
Yeah, it's coming down to Richardson and Antonio Brown for me, Rick. Antonio Brown, the only game in town so far. I know Heath Miller's coming back. I'm actually in a PPR format. Antonio Brown's been big in a PPR format, especially in a couple of games. I'm actually going to lean towards sitting Trent Richardson there. What do you think, Scott?
Wow, I'm going to be the odd man out again. I think I'm going to lean towards sitting Antonio Brown. I hate to say it, but which one was playing New England? Was that Colston?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm leaning towards sitting Colston just because a lot of New England's games this year have been 20 points, 25 points or less. I don't know that there's going to be a ton of scoring in that game, despite what people think. I know you thought it might be a shootout, but I think we're looking lower than most will think. And there's still Graham, there's still Sproles. I'm going to sit him. I love Brown and Hilton. I love McCoy and Bush. Trent Richardson, I'm with you. I think he's not going to have as great a game as people think, but the Chargers are just bad. I don't like Colston's matchup as much as the others, so I'm sitting him.
Well, now you're thoroughly confused, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Sid Colston is what I said in that jumble.
I might lean, you know, it's a good point, Scott. I'm actually going to waver a little bit. I like that. What I'm worried about is Colston off of that bad week last week. Colston has a way to sometimes take over games. I think you know what you're going to get for Richardson and from Brown. So maybe it's what your risk, your willingness to risk is. I think you have some steadiness there. I think you have upside with Colston. He could go off. But, yeah, I apologize for that. We have no consensus at all. You want to waver, Rick, and try and give something here?
I would need the fact that Colston certainly is the riskier ones because back to my point, you know, a couple questions ago, with New Orleans, it always seems to be Jimmy Graham and the other guy. Now, if he's the other guy, he could be 135 yards and two touchdowns. However, Antonio Brown is probably a safer play, but, you know, now you're looking at the Pittsburgh offense, who has had one basically decent day against Minnesota. So, yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what, I will concede to sit Colston in that situation. I don't want the Colts being sad against San Diego, either one of them, Hilton or Richardson, to be honest with you. And I think you have to have Reggie Bush and obviously Shady in there. So, okay, I'll concede and try to help this guy out. Maybe Colson is probably the safer sit. However, his upside is probably greater.
Yeah, so that'll be, I think, what it comes down to. You take a little bit of risk and you sit Colson, or do you play it safe and sit a Richardson, I think, is sort of a mini consensus we're able to come through here. Hey, we're sorry about that.
I've been going through the same battle. I have Drew Brees. That's why I've been battling with trying to take Colson or not.
Yeah, that's tough.
And so that makes it even double tough right there, because now you have a nice hookup. If he does go off, you're losing some big points there. But
all right. Well, hey, we appreciate the call. Sorry we couldn't be of more help. Have good luck this week.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one. All right, Rick, let's move on. We got about 5 minutes left. Let's knock a few more of these out. I love when that happens.
Yeah.
They're going back and forth. We're going back and forth. That's what I love about this fantasy football.
Yeah, but I have to be honest. I can't sit there, well, so-and-so is your play.
Yeah.
And because that was a tough situation to be in. I feel for the guy. I really would like to get, like, who do I start, Colston or, Sidney Rice.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, where are we at here? Which wide receiver would you start? And this is an interesting one. It's PPR. Nate Washington, Greg Jennings, Steve Smith.
Tough. Yeah, Steve Smith is a guy, he pops off the page as the guy you should be starting. He's just been awful. Greg Jennings been up and down. He's had big weeks. He's completely disappeared. I don't even remember who the first one was, Rick. It came down to those
Nate
two
Washington.
For me. Yeah, Nate Washington, you can throw him out going out to Seattle with the whole Ryan Fitzpatrick factor going there. Oh, man, that's tough.
I tell you what, I'm just going to jump in while
you're
mulling it over. You know, Steve Smith has historically had a lot of big games against Minnesota. And
rub it in.
Well, it's not to rub it in. We're trying to help this fellow out. We got to compartmentalize all this fan stuff here.
I disagree.
I mean, we can see Pittsburgh stinks, okay? But no, I would think in this situation I'm going to go with Steve Smith.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like you said, historically, albeit to Scott's chagrin, Steve Smith put up some numbers there. Yeah, I think Greg Jennings could have a nice week. He could completely disappear. I've got to think at some point, if Steve Smith's going to do it, it's this week.
Yeah, it's a sweep. The machine says Steve Smith by quite a lot. I say Steve Smith begrudgingly. So
this is going to be a rough game for you.
Boy, it is. It's, okay, let's go to the chat room here. We have a non-PPR question. Andre Johnson.
Michael's brother.
Andre the Giant or Flash Gordon. No, Andre Johnson or Josh Gordon.
Oh, Rick, I think it's Josh Gordon. I can't believe I'm going to recommend to sit Andre Johnson. Dealing with that shin issue, there's rumors out there of a bit of a hamstring issue, too. Looks like he's going to go this week, but you've got the whole Matt Schaub factor. He's one dumb pass in the first quarter away from sitting down and really having a mess on your hand. Josh Gordon is just a guy. I think he's an every-week guy. I think I can't believe I'm ever recommending to sit Andre Johnson, but in this situation I am.
I'm not going to sit Andre Johnson. And they're going against St. Louis. I think Matt Schaub's going to have – comeback game for Houston and for himself, and so I'm going Andre Johnson.
The machine has Andre Johnson by a ton, and I'm such a Josh Gordon honk, but I can't even do it. I just can't. Even though I think that Detroit game they're gonna put up a decent amount of points. Schaub's on the line this week. He really needs to prove himself, and I think that Andre helps him with that. So I'm going to start on. I'd start Andre.
So you, Mr. Flieger, on an
me
island.
Me and Josh Gordon together.
Hey, I know we're
on
running out
island.
Of time here, but we have another one in the chat room. PPR Lig, Bilal Powell, Fred Jackson, C.J. Spiller.
In a PPR, I assume CJ's healthy and going to go. In a PPR, I want to play Fred Jackson over him, but the PPR factor makes CJ Spiller just by a whisker.
I'm going Fred Jackson. He's been getting it done all year.
You can talk me into it, believe
me. And I'm taking Fred Jackson. I think he's basically – you know, what's there in Buffalo right now. And I realize they're going to probably put eight in a box there, but I don't know. I just think Fred Jackson's the play.
Yeah, the machine says Fred Jackson by the slimmest margin I think I've ever seen on this. It 0.03 over Bilal Powell and 0.3 over CJ Spiller. And I think I'm going to agree. I think that Fred, just based on the last couple of weeks, he's getting the touches. He's a little bit safer.
And quite frankly, Bilal Powell is a little scary against that Pittsburgh defense. They haven't been able to stop the run too well. But I just still have to go Fred Jackson.
Yeah,
much
everybody
involved.
Getting healthy up there, though. Right. You might be looking at a three-headed attack. Rick, let's squeeze one more in before we get out of here. We'll go over a minute or two if we have to.
Okay, we're going in. This is a PPR. Pick two wide receivers, and he's rearing his ugly head again. Colston, Shorts, Givens, Sidney Rice, Dwayne Bowe.
Colston, Shorts, Givens, and Bowe.
This one's easy.
I'm picking two, right, Rick?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's Colston and Shorts, and I don't think it's close. I'm out on Dwayne Bowe.
I'm 100% with you. I think it's unanimous. Or is it not, Scott? Colston.
Oh, it's unanimous with the machine as well. Colston and Shorts.
Another one real quick then. Russell Wilson at home versus Tennessee, or Terrell Pryor at Kansas City.
It's got to be Russell Wilson. That would be closer any other week. I hate Terrell Pryor going into that buzzsaw in Kansas City today. I think it's Russell Wilson in a walk.
I'm going with Russell Wilson, but I'm interested to see if Scott's willing to go out with Terrell Pryor out on Fish Island one time.
Not this week, guys. I don't think I can go on. I think all year I've been benching anyone going into Kansas City, and I'm going to stick with that. Wilson for me and the machine.
All right. Well, Scott, we sure appreciate it. We have slap run out of time again. Scott Fisher, the FFOasis.com. Why don't you tell them one more time where they can find all your work?
Hey, you can find me on Twitter at ScottFish24 or at FFOasis. All my stuff's at FFOasis. And please do sign up for that FFOasis Invitational, FFOasis.com/FFOI. It's both Fleeger and Briggs are playoff bound at the moment. You get to play against guys like them, assuming they come back next year.
Oh, we'll be back.
Definitely.
All right, Scott. Well, we sure appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks. Maybe we can talk a little Brett Favre next week, too.
Oh,
that'd be good.
Brett Favre.
Brett Favre. Good Lord. All right, Scott. Good luck this week.
Thanks, Scott.
You too. Thanks.
All right, Rick. Well, we just flat went over time again. We're going to have to get a little tighter on this when we find ourselves on the Armed Forces Radio Network, I think.
Yeah, but right now...
It's our world now.
Yeah,
we can do whatever we
want. Our world, so that's what we're doing. But, that's a good feed in there. Starting in November, we will be moving to Thursdays.
Yes.
And we will be the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show. And we will be on the Armed Forces Network. You follow them at the AFSN.
No, or the AFRN.
Or what I say, S. I'm sorry, RN.
So,
excuse me.
At the AFRN. Go do whatever you do. Give them the thumbs up
on Facebook,
not the other kind of thumbs up on Facebook. At facebook.com/armedforcesradionetwork.co. So check them out there. So for the short term, Rick, we will be back Tuesday night on the Blitz. We'll recap all this action. It'll probably be another Scott Fish celebration coming off a great week last week. Thank you to the Real Fan Sports Radio Network at rfsportsradio.com. Don't forget asylumfantasyfootball.com, at asylumfootball on Twitter, asylumfootball@gmail.com. 90 minutes to go. We'll be off the air, but we'll still answer your questions right up to the bitter end.
Yes, indeed. So still shoot them to us, and all are answered. You won't be on this Sunday inside slant, but they will be answered.
No question about it. So until Tuesday, good luck this week. We'll see you.
Take care.
I really do like this song.
I don't.
I do not like this song.
marshmallows. Whiskey's a feeling and a deep feeling, I believe it.